Greetings, family. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Fernando, your host. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of love, prayer, and appreciation to our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Someone once said that troubles are to remind us of things that we're not thinking of or doing. Situations are to remind us of objects that are to come into our lives. For instance, a gold bar, a silver bar. Do you know how much gold and where can you sell it today, or silver? If you had an emergency and you had to take in your gold to buy food, where would you take it? What's the price of gold? How much of it do you have? I was thinking about, I had to fix a window latch went down. And I said, oh man, I got to take time, I got to study it. And I got, the windows are getting old. And I said, well, I don't really know where to take my gold. What's gold and how can I turn in the gold I find in the street and the rings and so forth? The reason I'm bringing this up is because the minute we take our attention away from the problems and we focus on what God is trying to put in our hearts, maybe God is trying to put in our hearts to pray for someone, to move things around the house, to better understand someone. In other words, move the furniture about so you'll think differently. Do something this week that you normally don't do. Okay? Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us all things to pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord God, that you fire us up. Direct us in the right direction. The problems mean there's a solution in something that God wants to give us. Something that God wants us to focus on. Thank you, Lord. What is it? They say that the humming or the ringing in your ear is God trying to bring you a message. So let's listen beyond the ringing, listening beyond the horns. What is God trying to tell us? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and open up some scripture and see what we get from there. Some promises of God, so they will be fulfilled for this day as we say them, repeat them. Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come unto me, all you that work hard and are heavy laden, tired, same old, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, harness upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am meek and easygoing in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. Matthew 11:28-29. That's all we want. We want rest for our souls. Why is our soul always trying to solve problems when it should try to bring solutions from heaven? So it will satisfy our souls. Hebrews 12:14-15 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. Hebrews 12:14-15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray for everyone else around us. Let's say, the Lord is their shepherd. They shall not want. The Lord makes them lie down in green pastures and leads them beside the still waters. The Lord restores their soul. The Lord leads them in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yes, though they walk through this valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for the Lord God is with them. His rod and his staff, they comfort them. The Lord has prepared a table before them in the presence of their enemies. The Lord anoints their head with oil, their cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness shall follow them all the days of their life, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Can you say, I thank you, God, for my resentments. I thank you, God, for my bitterness, my wrath. I thank you, God, for the anger. Thank you for the resentments. Thank you for the clamor and evil speaking. Thank you, God, for the evil speaking that's come out of my mouth. That's the way to put them away, folks, by throwing love onto it. You ever hear you fight fire with love, with water? That's what we're doing. We're throwing water into our feelings, that those hurt feelings, the wrath, and the indifference against God. You know, our bodies get tired of trying to figure out what God is trying to say, so we rebel. So we have to say, thank you, God, for my indifference. Thank you, God. Calm it down. Calm it down. Notice God ain't going anywhere. He's constant. And be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm kind of whispering. I'm outside to wake up the neighbors right now. It's Sunday. Psalm 99 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord says, come to me, my child. Let me hug you and hold you and take a deep sigh and relax. If you need to cry, cry. Let it go. It's going to be all right. Lean on the Father. Lean on the arms of the Father. Troubles come. Troubles go. Psalm 147:3, he healed the broken heart and binded up their wounds. Lean on the Father. We lean on the Father. He heals our broken hearts and binds up our wounds in time. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126:5. Let us get all the tears out. Let us get all the hurt and disappointments out. Let's make ourselves cry. Let us make ourselves, let's get it over with. Let's have ourselves a good emotional cry. Let it out. You'll feel better. And say, thank you, God, for my feelings. Thank you, God, for the way situations are. In John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So how do we do that? How do we not let our hearts be troubled? How do we successfully? There's a crow up there making funny noise. Neither let it be afraid. First time I hear a crow do that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How do we do it? By thanking God that our heart is troubled. By thanking God it's afraid. We put our heart, you see, we're focusing on God when we're thanking him. Who are we thanking? The Lord. We're leaning on the Father. We're thanking him for our trouble. Our trouble diminishes. And then Father shows us, well, you should be paying attention to this thing. Yeah, it may not look like the solution for the trouble, but believe me, it's a start. Amen. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's the Lord, his arms. We lean on the Father. In Psalm 56:11, it says, in God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do me unto me. See? In God I put my trust. Psalm 56:11. And then we have Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel or to sing songs and be happy in front of the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. Luke 4:18. Now, the reason we're feeling like that, I want to be a dad to you. If you stood late, you drink a lot of alcoholic beverages, drink coffee at night, look at a lot of killings and rapes and so forth, and that's exactly what you're getting. You're not putting anything good, so how could our feelings be any good? You got to go to sleep early, you got to read good books, you got to pray, and set yourself for 10 bullet points to discipline yourself that you know you must do every day, and go through them and rewrite them every day for 5 days a week, as to say, I am avoiding killings on TV. I am avoiding rapes and mysterious stuff. Whatever it is, the habit that you're doing wrongly and it's producing wrong feelings, just start writing down what you should be doing in the morning as part of bullet points. I should be taking a walk. I should be gardening. And I am easily and happily gardening. I am easily and happily appreciating my truck, my car. I am easily and happily appreciating my immune system. I am easily and happily appreciating my bones that produces good blood cells. I am easily appreciating my white blood cells. I am easily and appreciating my heart that keeps my blood flowing. Appreciate our bodies, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our bodies just the way they are. And now, let's get some prosperity scriptures. Let's have some resources so we can have fun and do life, okay, abundantly. Like it says, John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Well, if your heart is broken and things are still hurting, thanking God for the hurt, thanking God for the problem, and focusing on the Father is the solution. In Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Patience, praising, thanking him, acting as so. Thank you, God, I hurt. Thank you, God, for the hurt. Can you do that? I just feel like someone's over there has been, their whole world's turned upside down. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. It just, you know, get it over with. Accept the hurt. Thank you, God, for putting me in the right direction. And Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:18. Amen. So wisdom would say, hey, kid, you're going to go to heaven. Jesus did say you're going to have tribs in this world. So be of good cheer. Act and thank God that you're experiencing life. Thank God you're experiencing life. Amen. And Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means to hurt you. What's his secret problem? What's his secret power? Thanking God for the problem. Then we get to use his power. Thank you, God. Thank you, devils. You just reminded me to praise the Lord and put on some praise and worship. The Maranatha from the 80s and the 90s. I like that music. Worship. The other one from Rhema Singers. I had a dream that in this dream, an angel or someone says for me to buy a CD from Rhema Singers. And I looked in their website and so forth, but I did find stuff on YouTube, but I haven't bought the CD yet. The worship and the praise. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers that haven't heard from your children, from your that love and the respect you deserve. Thank you so much for having that mother instinct of loving us kids while we were in the womb, and when we get out without that love. would not have survived. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. I love you. If no one has told you they love you, I love you. I appreciate and I thank God for you just the way you are. Hallelujah. With your freckles and all. I thank you, God. I love you. Greetings, family. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Fernando, your host. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of love, prayer, and appreciation to our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Someone once said that troubles are to remind us of things that we're not thinking of or doing. Situations are to remind us of objects that are to come into our lives. For instance, a gold bar, a silver bar. Do you know how much gold and where can you sell it today, or silver? If you had an emergency and you had to take in your gold to buy food, where would you take it? What's the price of gold? How much of it do you have? I was thinking about, I had to fix a window. A window latch went down. And I said, oh man, I got to take time. I got to study it. And I got, the windows are getting old. And I said, well, I don't really know where to take my gold. What's gold and how can I turn in the gold I find in the street and the rings and so forth? The reason I'm bringing this up is because the minute we take our attention away from the problems and we focus on what God is trying to put in our hearts, maybe God is trying to put in our hearts to pray for someone, to move things around the house, to better understand someone. In other words, move the furniture about so you'll think differently. Do something this week that you normally don't do. Okay? Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us all things to pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord God, that you fire us up. Direct us in the right direction. The problems mean there's a solution and something that God wants to give us. Something that God wants us to focus on. Thank you, Lord. What is it? They say that the humming or the ringing in your ear is God trying to bring you a message. So let's listen beyond the ringing. Listening beyond the horns. What is God trying to tell us? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and open up some scripture and see what we get from there. Some promises of God, so they will be fulfilled for this day as we say them, repeat them. Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come unto me, all you that work hard and are heavy laden, tired, same old, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, harness upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. I am meek and easygoing in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. Matthew 11:28-29. That's all we want. We want rest for our souls. Why is our soul always trying to solve problems when it should try to bring solutions from heaven? So it will satisfy our souls. Hebrews 12:14-15 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. Hebrews 12:14-15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray for everyone else around us. Let's say, the Lord is their shepherd. They shall not want. The Lord makes them lie down in green pastures and leads them beside the still waters. The Lord restores their soul. The Lord leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though they walk through this valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for the Lord God is with them. His rod and his staff, they comfort them. The Lord has prepared a table before them in the presence of their enemies. The Lord anoints their head with oil, their cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness shall follow them all the days of their life. And they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Can you say, I thank you, God, for my resentments. I thank you, God, for my bitterness, my wrath. I thank you, God, for the anger. Thank you for the resentments. Thank you for the clamor and evil speaking. Thank you, God, for the evil speaking that's come out of my mouth. That's the way to put them away, folks, by throwing love onto it. You ever hear you fight fire with love, with water? That's what we're doing. We're throwing water into our feelings, that those hurt feelings, the wrath, and the indifference against God. You know, our bodies get tired of trying to figure out what God is trying to say, so we rebel. But we have to say, thank you, God, for my indifference. Thank you, God. Calm it down. Calm it down. Notice God ain't going anywhere. He's constant. And be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm kind of whispering. I'm outside to wake up the neighbors right now. It's Sunday. Psalm 99 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord says, come to me, my child. Let me hug you and hold you and take a deep sigh and relax. If you need to cry, cry. Let it go. It's going to be all right. Lean on the Father. Lean on the arms of the Father. Troubles come. Troubles go. Psalm 147:3, he healed the broken heart and binded up their wounds. Lean on the Father. We lean on the Father. He heals our broken hearts and binds up our wounds in time. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126:5. Let us get all the tears out. Let us get all the hurt and disappointments out. Let's make ourselves cry. Let us make ourselves, let's get it over with. Let's have ourselves a good emotional cry. Let it out. You'll feel better. And say, thank you, God, for my feelings. Thank you, God, for the way situations are. In John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So how do we do that? How do we not let our hearts be troubled? How do we successfully? There's a crow up there making funny noise. Neither let it be afraid. First time I hear a crow do that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How do we do it? By thanking God that our heart is troubled. By thanking God it's afraid. We put our heart, you see, we're focusing on God when we're thanking him. Who are we thanking? The Lord. We're leaning on the Father. We're thanking him for our trouble. Our trouble diminishes. And then Father shows us, well, you should be paying attention to this thing. Yeah, it may not look like the solution for the trouble, but believe me, it's a start. Amen. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's the Lord, his arms. We lean on the Father. In Psalm 56:11, it says, In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do me unto me. See? In God I put my trust. Psalm 56:11. And then we have Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, or to sing songs and be happy in front of the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. Luke 4:18. Now, the reason we're feeling like that, I want to be a dad to you. If you stood late, you drink a lot of alcoholic beverages, drink coffee at night, look at a lot of killings and rapes and so forth, and that's exactly what you're getting. You're not putting anything good, so how could our feelings be any good? You got to go to sleep early, you got to read good books, you got to pray, and set yourself for 10 bullet points to discipline yourself that you know you must do every day, and go through them and rewrite them every day for 5 days a week, as to say, I am avoiding killings on TV. I am avoiding rapes and mysterious stuff. Whatever it is, the habit that you're doing wrongly and it's producing wrong feelings, just start writing down what you should be doing in the morning as part of bullet points. I should be taking a walk. I should be gardening. And I am easily and happily gardening. I am easily and happily appreciating my truck, my car. I am easily and happily appreciating my immune system. I am easily and happily appreciating my bones that produces good blood cells. I am easily appreciating my white blood cells. I am easily and appreciating my heart that keeps my blood flowing. Appreciate our bodies, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our bodies just the way they are. And now, let's get some prosperity scriptures. Let's have some resources so we can have fun and do life, okay, abundantly, like it says. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Well, if your heart is broken and things are still hurting, thanking God for the hurt, thanking God for the problem, and focusing on the Father is the solution. In Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Patience, praising, thanking him, acting as so. Thank you, God, I hurt. Thank you, God, for the hurt. Can you do that? I just feel like someone's over there has been, their whole world's turned upside down. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just, you know, get it over with. Accept the hurt. Thank you, God, for putting me in the right direction. And Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:18. Amen. So wisdom would say, hey, kid, you're going to go to heaven. Jesus did say you're going to have tribs in this world. So be of good cheer. Act and thank God that you're experiencing life. Thank God you're experiencing life. Amen. And Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means to hurt you. What's his secret problem? What's his secret power? Thanking God for the problem. Then we get to use his power. Thank you, God. Thank you, devils. You just reminded me to praise the Lord and put on some praise and worship. The Maranatha from the 80s and the 90s. I like that music. Worship. The other one from Rhema. Rhema Singers. I had a dream that in this dream an angel or someone says for me to buy a CD from Rhema Singers. And I looked in their website and so forth, but I did find stuff on YouTube, but I haven't bought the CD yet. The worship and the praise. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers that haven't heard from your children, from your that love and the respect you deserve. Thank you so much for having that mother instinct of loving us kids while we were in the womb and we get out. Without that love, we would not have survived. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. I love you. No one has told you they love you. I love you. I appreciate and I thank God for you just the way you are. Hallelujah. With your freckles and all. I thank you, God. I love you. Greetings, family. Welcome to today's reading and podcast. Problems have answers and solutions. Yep, and when you thank God for a problem, you take a breather and wait for the powers of good, which are manifested in all kinds of areas of options. It works. So give it a try. We have Raymond Charles Barker. Problems have answers and solutions, many answers. So I say, thank you, Father. We lean on you. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive, I accept your miracles, your wonder-working miracles, seeing your love work in awesome ways in my life. Thank you, Father, that you have that option, and I have to receive it. I just say, yes, yes, yes. I believe, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. I believe for things to bring joy and happiness, Lord, for your glory and your honor, Lord. All things are possible, for the Lord says, all things are possible with him. I just believe. He said it. I believe it. Here is Raymond Charles Barker. Problems have answers and solutions.
We believe in the spirit of life. We believe in that living spirit, always in the now, always here, always present. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never is outside of our consciousness. It is the action of our consciousness. It is life itself. It is mind, it is heart, it is love, it is beauty, perfect action, it is the whole bit. We believe this. We know it to be true. And now we're going to remind our subconscious mind that it is true through this treatment. All right? Relax a little bit. And know with me, there is one God, one mind, one spirit, one life, one health, one peace, one right action. It is now. It is in us. It is in action through us. It is healing, blessing, prospering. It is making us the great people that the divine mind intended us to be. Perfect life. Perfect joy. Great peace, everything all right, everything good. All right, so it is. I'm talking this morning on the subject, problems have answers or solutions. They sure do. We are probably the greatest problem-solving group there is in the world. Or at least, shall I say this way, we are probably the greatest problem-solving group using a scientific principle, using the principle of mind and its action. We believe and have proven that any and all problems can be solved if the individual handles them from the level of consciousness and not just run around in the world of form. runaround it is. Now, the tendency is always to go to the world of form. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Instead of what should I think? What should I know? What should I believe? That's where everything starts. Yes. Now, my first teacher, many, many years ago, as you can see from the color of my hair, used to say, there is nothing to do materially. There is only something to know spiritually. I'll give you that again. There is not something to do materially. There is only something to know spiritually. That's where the solution starts. That's where the first inkling of success appears. The knowing, believing, and accepting the fact that every problem has a solution. Now, it may not be the way your intellectual mind has worked it out, because our intellects are dealing with the form world, the world of limitation, the world of obstruction, the world that says no. So that world out there says no to every great idea. Luckily, there have been the people down through the ages that did not accept the no of the world statement. Every great spiritual teacher has not done as the world would have had him or her do. Not one of them. If they had, they would never have been able to help people. Now, these great minds, down through the ages, sensed that ideas were the answer, not things. Ideas. Many of them said just that in one way or another. Jesus said, it's done unto you according to your belief, which is his way of saying it. Ideas are the answer. Now you're going to say, all right, I'm in a problem. What do I do? First of all, calm down. Quiet down. Get fairly still and say, all right, mind. You are the spirit of life in me. You have the answer to this situation. You reveal it. And say that softly, quietly, definitely, over and over again. And a little idea will start to happen. A little idea will begin to reveal itself in your consciousness. And when you welcome it by saying, wait a minute, I think I'm getting something. And I'm not talking about psychic matters. I think I'm getting an idea. And then you're still long enough for the idea to happen. And then you follow through on the idea. Now, the idea may lead you to material things. But it'll be the right idea. Through the right people, through the right action, through everything. People often say to me, but Dr. Bucker, I don't want to go to the hospital. Quiet, and if the word hospital still is around, go. Nothing wrong with hospital. Now, I would be like that person if I were told I would have to go, but I would go. Because I believe in the wisdom of whoever told me to go. I wouldn't want to any more than the other person. But I wouldn't sit back and say, I will avoid going by doing my spiritual work. Because my spiritual work can lead me into exactly the right hands, the right place, the right time, the right everything. And I can do that in any other area of my life. The first 3 days of the week, telling you one of my secrets, for some reason, The flow of money in my world stopped. So Wednesday night, when I got home, I sat myself down and said, now, wait a minute. This is ridiculous. Stupid. And I got quiet, and I said, wait a minute. That mind that has always prospered me is prospering me now, and I accept that any and all things in my subconscious that have cut it off are now erased, nullified, and gone. And I did it, about 10 minutes. So when I got to the office the next morning, started opening the mail, lo and behold, there was the flow again. Something in me had cut it off. Something in me opened the channel. And the people involved in sending in the money didn't even know it. But I knew it. And I cleared. Now, this is why I say all problems have a solution. All questions have an answer. Because you and I do not often enough get quiet. We're so busy. We're so busy dodging the right answer. We try everything. We go everywhere. We ask everybody. And everybody tells us what to do because everybody knows exactly what you should do and everybody knows what I should do. I stopped asking people what to do because they tell me. And they don't know anything more about it than I do in my confusion. And I don't want to hear it. But I get within myself and get still a minute. Quiet down. Now, does this mean I shut out the world for a long period of time? No, 2 minutes can do it. 2 minutes in which to bring my consciousness back to its spiritual center. Where the idea is, where the answer is, where the solution is. I bring my mind back. My mind's been so busy out in the world. It has to be. I'm going to run a business like I do. It has to be. So my mind's so busy with this, so busy with that, so busy with the GG. That I have to, a couple of times a day, calm down, quiet down, and realize that the real motivation of life is the action of ideas in consciousness. Then I follow through on them as they appear in my mind. But it all begins and ends with a moment of correct knowing. A term that I developed through the years. Clear, correct knowing. Which is not knowing the problem, but knowing the solution. Any one of us can describe the problem in great detail. If you don't think so, go and visit a sick friend. And here, just listen. First of all, the sick friend doesn't want you to talk. He or she wants an audience. And so, you get every miserable detail. From this to that to that to that to that. And then when you get up to go after having heard the 20-minute talk, and you say, now I know you're going to be all right, and the person looks at you and says, well, I hope so. You know darn well they're not going to be all right. They're going to continue in their misery, which they are unconsciously perpetuating by their recitation of evil, unconscious. They're doing it. It's a continuity because they don't know it, but they really enjoy it. They really enjoy their misery. So I just let them enjoy it. So, you can say, well, you're heartless. I'm not heartless at all. I know my teaching. You can't change another living soul unless they want to be changed. Until the sick want to get well, they're going to stay sick. Until the unhappy want to get well, they're going to stay unhappy. Until the poor want to get rich, they're going to stay poor. But they better change their conversation in order to do this. You see, I've had people talk to me 20 minutes all about their debts, how they got them, what they can't do about them, and all. Yeah, I want you to talk for 2 minutes about money. They look at me. I said, you talk 20 minutes about evil. You talk 20 minutes about your problem. Talk 2 minutes about the solution. Well, I don't know how there is a solution. I said, that's why you won't get it. You can't talk. Talk money. Talk money. Look at a $5 bill for a change. And I put my hand out. I'm not stupid. And I say, look at it. Look at the backside as well as the front. Look at the beautiful engraving. Look at the way it's done. Think of all the thought that went into that design. Just sit back and they don't know what I'm talking about. Because they're so sure the bank won't give them the loan. Or they're so sure that the creditors won't give them a 5-day extension. Or this, the landlord. Talk what you want. Yep. Power of the spoken word. Read what the great people have spoken. Or what's been written down as their having spoken it. And what do you find? You find affirmative, creative, inspirational, uplifting ideas. Great ideas. Because they know. They knew. And the present ones know. Because there are great minds still functioning on this planet, and there always will be. They knew and know that there is no problem that cannot be solved. There are only people who won't solve them. I take that as a quotation from a book years ago written by Dr. Bales. He said, there are no incurable diseases. There are only incurable people. And I'm translating that over right now to the other. There are no problems that cannot be solved. There are only people who won't bother to solve them. Who want to sit and stew in poor me. Poor me. Oh, and isn't it terrible? And everything's against me and all the rest. All the stream of negatives. So, until those people change into a creative mental attitude, there's nothing much anyone can do. And I'm sorry to say, many of these people read our book, listen to me every Sunday, and isn't it beautiful? Oh, I'm so inspired, and they don't do a darn thing with it. If I weren't on radio, I'd use a stronger term. Now, I'm not out here to give a beautiful talk. I'm not out here to set you going, oh, I'm just as though I was on cloud nine. That's not the purpose of religious science. The purpose of religious science is to see something and do something creative about it. Look right at it and say, wait a minute. Do you have more power than my mind has? The answer, of course, is no. So whatever the problem is, does it have more power than your own individual mind? No. But you hand your power over to it. You say, here, I'm going to give you my full attention. Give the whole thing to you. And, of course, the problem just eats that up. Problems love attention. And problems begin to dissolve when the attention is taken away from them. When the attention is shifted. Yes. And so I say to people all the time, what do you like to read that will shift your attention? Or do you want to go for a walk on a beautiful day like we have today and shift your attention? Don't take the problem with you. Leave it in your living room. Shut the door and say, you stay in there. Go for a walk. Look at a tree. And do some creative thinking, not about the problem. And when you go home and open the door, you say, are you still here? Yeah. And then you say, all right, I'll take you in like I would a puppy. Hold you on my lap and nourish you and mother you. Think your way. So you might as well not have gone for a walk. Or come in and say, all right, you stay over there on the other side of the room. I'll get an answer. Talk to your negatives as though they were persons. They aren't. But just say, you stay over there. I don't want you in my mind. I'm getting an answer, and I don't want you interfering. Now, of course, the intellect will come up with all the answers. It always has. It always will. It'll come up with anything it can to confuse you and keep you disturbed, unhappy, whatever it is. Sometimes I say to my intellect, oh, shut up. I do. Well, I'm glad I live alone. Otherwise, they'd have me put away. All right. Intellect, shut up. I want a divine answer. I want a right answer. And I'm receptive to it, and it takes place in my mind right now. And it happens. Does it happen all the time? Nothing happens all the time. But it happens enough of the time to know that it's true. To know that it's true. See, we always want the world around us to solve our problems. And so the world does its best. We have Social Security and Medicare. But the problems go right on. Because they are self-caused. So you get so many dollars per month. It's never enough. So you get a hospital bill paid. It's never enough. You know? Well, then why don't they do something about it? At the same time, you don't want any higher taxes. You want the world to do everything. And you see, this is not a utopia. This is a democratic society, we hope, and trust. And it cannot do for the individual what the individual should be doing for himself. That's a good one. The general society cannot do for the individual what the individual should be doing for himself. And he has, perhaps, no longer the motivation. Perhaps no longer even the desire. So he muddles and blames the world. Now, one of the great teachers said to his own students, O ye of little faith, you want me to do everything. They did. Anytime they had anything wrong with them, they went to him and said, you do it. You do it. Oh, ye of little faith, do it yourself. They didn't like that. They wanted somebody else to do it. And so, as a result, their record of actual healings is very little. Why should they heal when they could bring a sick man to Jesus? And this got very tiring, I think, to Jesus. I wasn't there, but when I meet him on some later plane of action, boy, have I got questions. Have I got questions? Like I'm going to play bridge with Ernest Holmes, Thomas Troward, and Mrs. Eddy. I am. They're taking bridge lessons right now, wherever they are, knowing I'm coming over in about 20 years. Now, it's fun. But let's come back. It can be done when the individual decides that he will do it. And until then, to do but flounder. And that's why I say we are a group of people trying not to flounder, not to believe everything the world says, and not to let it affect us, you see. So the city's put an estate tax on people's money when they pass on. I think they're going to repeal it if they haven't already. But so what? If they're going to repeal it, I'd like to wait around till after it's done. But if they don't repeal it, I won't care because I don't need money wherever I'm going. Now, worry, worry, worry. And you know, it almost is a pleasurable thing. It keeps the mind going round and round and round on that old theory of poor little me. And nobody understands. Nobody. My husband, my wife, my child, whatever it is, they don't understand. Of course they do. They're looking right through you. And if they're in this teaching, they're saying, why don't you wake up and change your attitude? Change your ideas. Change the whole thing. And a few do, and a few don't. Most of them don't. Consciousness is the reality of being. And you have the ability to control it, to direct it, to initiate action in it. And I have that ability. Or we can sit back and say to the world, you take over. Easy enough to do. And so we sit back, listen to the world, news, newspaper media, everything, radio, television. We sit back, we listen, and we believe. Oh. We believe. Now I listen to my news broadcast. When it's over, I turn it on and say, well, that's that. And I don't carry it around with me. Period. I want to be informed. I want to know what's going on. But I can't mull over it all day. I've got much too much to do. I want my thinking straight. I want it clear. I want it direct. I want it to produce what I want, not what I don't want. This has been our theme really all month, hasn't it? To think what I want and not what I don't want. To talk what I want and not what I don't want. An old story. We had family reunions when I was a child. This would be a long time ago, more than 50 years. And at this big family reunion, we had a distant cousin that wasn't quite all right in the head. Every family has one, you know. They usually cover them up in some way. But I never looked into my family tree. At every age, he would always come around to my father and say, George, what are you doing financially? My father said, well, there are a few days, Henry, when I don't make $1,000. Ooh. And you can just see, you go around, George Barker makes $1,000 every day. Which, of course, he didn't. But he spread the good news. Yes. Oh. very impressed because he couldn't interpret, you see, what my father said. And so he said, well, he makes $1,000 a day. Isn't that wonderful? And all the relatives that heard this every reunion we'd ever had would nod and say, there's George up to his old tricks again. And they'd look at the rather tired car we arrived in and would depart from and say, I wonder where those thousands of dollars are. Now, my father at that time was superintendent of a metaphysical Sunday school. He probably didn't realize he was practicing what he was telling the kids every Sunday. He was talking maybe what he wanted. I don't know. At any rate, it didn't work. However, he died with all of his debts paid, so that's all right. Now to come back. The solution of the problem begins to happen when the attention is temporarily taken off the problem. Problems will die from lack of attention, just like a plant in your living room. If you don't care for it, don't give it water, it'll die. Now, your problem will begin to die when you stop thinking it with enthusiasm. Meaning, thinking it with real emotion. That's enthusiasm. And that problem thrives on your emotional agreement with it. It says, oh, I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay. Now, think of the plant in the living room and begin to not nourish your negative. Because then they will begin to go. See, when we are emotionally upset and unhappy, we dramatize everything. We build it up and build it up and build it up and end up with poor little me, what can I do? At that rate, can't do anything. That's why I say, calm down. Get still. Say this is not the end of the world. This is not the last problem I'll ever have. All right, mind in me, now begin to tell me what to do. And that mind in you, which is spirit, light, intelligence, wisdom, emotion. See, God never gets excited. God never worries about a problem. And gradually, behold, the solution is at hand. Those like the idea that Jesus, at the supposed age of 30, when he started out, his first public sentence written down. Now, we don't know what he said before that. Supposedly written down was, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I always look at my hand. It's right here. Now, that the people to whom he said it paid him no mind. They thought, he's enough. Because they were unhappy in the Roman Empire. They were unhappy in their own national state. They were unhappy, period. And here's this character going around saying, the kingdom of God is here. Why didn't he just look around? Why didn't he pay his taxes? And he'll come to his senses and realize it isn't so. But you see, he didn't. He didn't realize it wasn't so. He kept to it. And he gave the world an idea It had been given to the world before by the great prophets of the Old Testament. But he gave the world an idea. And that is, you can do it. That's the essence of it. And people said, no, we can't do it, so we'll build an organization that'll do it for us. So, Paul, bless his heart, I don't mean that, said, let's organize. So they organized. So the idea went. The idea went. I learned years ago from one of our early teachers, Elizabeth Town, at conventions, whenever something comes onto the floor of the convention in a business meeting you don't want, ask the chair to appoint a committee and have them decide. And it never comes back, because the committee get arguing within themselves. And finally, the last day of the convention comes and the thing never comes back to the floor of the convention. Easiest way to get rid of something you don't like, organize a committee. Now, you see, the spirit in us is self-organized, if we let it be. It doesn't need the opinion of people. It doesn't need the intellect to confuse it. Pure God consciousness in every soul is there to act when it is known. But it has to be known in order to act. That's why I say get still and know it. That's why the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. And he meant it. Because you are, and I am. But we're so busy trying to be something else. But at least once a day, be still. And know that you are that which is. Complete, total, free. Yes. Sometimes at night, just before going to sleep, I jokingly talk to myself and say, all right, every problem there is will be right there tomorrow morning, and I'm not going to have to take them with me all night. Subconscious mind in me, you drop them until I wake up tomorrow morning. And I had a wonderful night's sleep, and when I wake up, I say, all right, if I could get along without them for 8 hours, I can get along without them for 18 hours. And then the answers begin to trickle through my mind. They begin to happen. And I'm happy. And I go about solving them. I take every material step necessary. I do what needs to be done, but I do my mental and spiritual work first. And that's where success begins. When you say to the world, you cannot stop my creative thinking. Because I won't let you. I won't believe what all my mind is trying to tell me. I believe in the living spirit almighty. I believe in that light of my own mind, light of my world. I believe in the interior more strongly than I do in the external. For my consciousness is God's mind in action. I am that mind in action, and all is really well. That's how you solve problems, so when is the lesson?